Ahead of China's Lunar New Year celebrations, concern about a deadly virus hit Asia's financial markets today. I'm David Brancaccio. At least 6 people are dead and about 300 confirmed sick in the Chinese city of Wuhan with the spread of a new strain of a SARS-like virus. The World Health Organization is gathering tomorrow to decide whether to declare an international health emergency. All this as large numbers of people in Asia are set to travel for a big holiday. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is following this for us from London.
So normally people take money out of the market ahead of this holiday, but today the China Shanghai Composite Index ended down 1.4%, while the currency, the yuan, fell about 0.5%. That's the biggest daily decline since August. If we drill down into the details just a bit, shares of drug makers and companies that make face masks rose by 10%, hitting the daily limit in China. Now, there's not currently a treatment or vaccine for this virus, so people are buying up supplies to protect themselves against the spread. Shares of Chinese entertainment companies, those are casinos, movie theaters, even luxury brands, those are also falling today.
And again, looking at the calendar, the Lunar New Year holiday starts Saturday. How might all that travel that comes with those celebrations further play into this?
This is the busiest travel season for Asia and a very important spending period. So for a bit of comparison here, about 116 million people travel across the U.S. for Thanksgiving and Christmas every year. Estimates, though, in Asia are for 3 billion trips to be made across the region in the next week for Lunar New Year. So if you think about it, if health concerns cause people to cancel flights or travel plans altogether, that means they're not spending money in the towns and the cities they visit. And so that could have a broader economic impact on the continent.
All right. And U.S. airports have begun screening for this coronavirus as well. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig in London, thank you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, with the impeachment trial opening in earnest in the Senate today, President Trump is in the mountains of Switzerland. After delivering to business and political leaders at Davos a bullish assessment of the U.S. economy, he called the U.S. today, quote, a roaring geyser of opportunity, given lower taxes and the lowest unemployment rate in about a half a century. Growing income inequality in the U.S. he did not address directly. And despite the exalted state of the U.S. economy, the president today took a firm swipe at the U.S. Central Bank, saying the Fed raised rates too quickly and they've been too slow to bring them back down. Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden and Riegel in Los Angeles.
I think the Federal Reserve is an easy punching bag, both for those on the right and those on the left. I think the president wants easier monetary policy. Obviously, in an election year, any president would want easier monetary policy to boost the economy. My personal opinion is, the appropriate setting for the federal funds rate has been reached. We have easy policy in the U.S. The economy is doing fine, and we have growth right around 2% and an unemployment rate that's lowest it's been in 50 years. So how much more could you really want out of the central bank?
Now, you do have this indicator for world trade that you like to share with us. It's out of South Korea, and even though this is a brand new year, we have some 2020 data.
Well, David, as you know, most data is stale, but this data point in particular tracks the first 20 days of South Korean exports. And we just passed January 20th, and the data was weak all throughout 2019 as we saw weak global economic data, weak global trade volumes. But the data was down 0.2%, so that's Korean exports down 0.2% versus a year ago. It's a sign of a bottoming out in global economic activity.
Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden and Riegel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, the International Monetary Fund today slightly lowered its global economic forecast for this year. Netflix quarterly profits, revenues, and sign-up rates come out after the markets close today. This at a time of new streaming competition from Disney Plus, Apple Plus, Peacock soon, HBO Max in the spring. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Many of our budgets are overwhelmed by subscriptions. And our eyes, they're overwhelmed too.
At some point, we're going to reach platform overload. And we're going to just long for the days when all we had to do was turn on the television.
Jennifer Holt is a media studies professor at UC Santa Barbara. She says consumers have endless choices. What they want is high-quality content.
Obviously, the way of making that content so attractive is to start hooking major stars and directors.
Netflix got the memo and 24 Oscar nominations last week. But Deloitte's Kevin Westcott says you need more than star power to hold on to customers.
I'm starting to see the largest platforms aggregating more and more content so that you can become the one-stop shop.
Viewers want The Irishman and The Office, and that gets expensive. So Westcott says we may see a new model where customers pay a base streaming price and extra for premium content, which sounds a bit like good old cable TV. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Texas has had one-party Republican rule for nearly two decades, but Texas Democrats are becoming more competitive, and this year that means more outside campaign money is coming into the state. Here's Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider.
Democrats are within 9 seats of winning control of the Texas House of Representatives, and that's not the only prize. If the Democrats win, that could mean they'd have more power over congressional redistricting after the 2020 census.
It's looking like Texas is going to get at least 3 more seats in the U.S. Congress. So how those seats are drawn and how those maps are drawn is going to be very, very influential, not just on Texas politics, but on national politics.
Tracy Marshall is director of the nonprofit Transparency Texas. Marshall says in 2018, the most closely contested Texas House races cost more than $400,000. This year, Marshall estimates that could surpass $500,000.
We might see for the first time in a long time more outside money coming into Texas than Texas money going out.
Texas already has the second largest block of congressional seats in the country after California. That congressional prize has drawn the attention of national figures like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and legendary GOP strategist Karl Rove. State Representative Celia Israel heads the Texas House Democratic Campaign Committee.
In my mind, this is a tremendous opportunity for us to raise millions and millions of dollars.
Republicans are going after the big money as well. State Representative Charlie Guerin co-leads the Political Action Committee, Leading Texas Forward PAC.
We're setting up some fundraising events in different locations around the state and solicit donations from across the board, $1,000 donations or $100,000 donations.
With so much at stake, Texas, often an ATM for national candidates who look to raise money here, may very well become an investment target for out-of-state donors. In Houston, I'm Andrew Schneider for Marketplace.
And in this moment, your public radio station is doing the work to provide you with the real-time political coverage that is shaping our country. Here at Marketplace, we're doing our thing, too, working to raise the economic intelligence of the country with special impeachment coverage happening throughout the day today. If you don't hear Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal on your radio during its usual afternoon-evening spot, know that you can always listen at marketplace.org. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.